I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday, coming to you this week from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. Later in the hour, might voters be judging candidates by the tone of their voices? But first, a little over a week ago, the Animas River in Colorado flowed with an unnatural hue, orange. You've seen the pictures by now, kayakers floating atop neon waters, the plume of toxic orange yellow sludge, which eventually reached other states like Utah and New Mexico. All the result of a blowout at the Gold King mine in Silverton, Colorado, accidentally caused by the Environmental Protection Agency last Wednesday. They had been charged with cleaning up the contaminated site, and stuff went wrong. This week, Gina McCarthy, EPA Administrator, spoke in Colorado.
So as you probably know, EPA's mission is to protect public health and the environment. No agency could be more upset about the incident happening, more dedicated in terms of doing our job and getting this right.
Joining me now to discuss current conditions along the river are two Colorado-based journalists who've been on the ground during this crisis. Grace Hood is the Energy Environment Reporter for Colorado Public Radio. Jonathan Thompson, Senior Editor at High Country News, based in Durango, Colorado. Welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Having trouble hearing them, so Grace, what triggered the Gold King mine blowout?
There was an EPA contracting crew that was using heavy equipment up there, and they were really wanting to start the process of pumping and treating the contaminated water inside the mine. There were also EPA officials up there overseeing all the operations at the time, but there was an earthen dam that was breached, and that's pretty much what unleashed the 3 million gallons of orange water discharge that we've seen in so many pictures now.
And what is the state now? Have they reopened the river yet?
They are going to reopen the river. Around Durango, the river has actually just been reopened to recreation, which is kind of big news. That happened in the last hour.
Really? So people can go back and swim and do their stuff on the river?
As of 1 hour ago, I think the sheriff was in charge of reopening it, and he did put some caution around that. But, obviously you don't want to be drinking the water if it's untreated or anything. But it was reopened, and that's a big deal for rafting companies.
Yeah. The EPA has been criticized for not announcing the blowout quickly enough. Is there still tension, Grace, over this issue about how it was handled?
You know, it seems to be dissipating a little bit. I know last weekend, New Mexico in particular was very frustrated that they didn't get adequate notice about the spill. We heard from the governor saying she was really disturbed by the lack of information last week. But I was in New Mexico yesterday when Gina McCarthy visited there and visited with a couple of folks. And it does seem like some of that tension dissipated. And certainly the visit by the EPA administrator helped to ease that tension somewhat.
Mm. Jonathan, what kind of toxins were in the wastewater?
Well, it was very acidic water when it came out, and that acid had dissolved a bunch of metals into the water. And so it looks like the main components of that were arsenic, copper, manganese, and cadmium and zinc. And those are all potentially toxic at high enough levels, and they actually spiked up to pretty high levels. They went up, it looks like, near town in Durango, they shot up as much as 10 to 1,000 times the background levels that they were before as the plume moved through. So, it was pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah, you got to look at the wastewater coming down the Animas River. What did it look like to you?
Well, as soon as I found out that something had happened, I ran down to the river as close to my house as I could and looked there, and it hadn't reached town yet, and it was perfectly clear and looked green and that sort of thing. I drove upstream to the head of the plume and looked at it, and it looked like, some people are saying it's mustard color, but I would say more like tang with a bunch of turmeric in it. It was a very orange, bright orange kind of color, and it was very silty. You could see the sludge kind of boiling around in the water. It was a shocking sight.
And today, Jonathan and Grace, how does it look in comparison?
It looks great to me. It looks almost back to what it was that morning that I went down and looked at it in town. Really, it looks like it does any time after a rainstorm, just a little bit milky, I guess.
Yeah, it has a lot more translucent aspect to it than it did before.
Are there still remnants, though, of the wastewater along the banks of the river, Grace?
Yeah, you can see some of that orange sediment on the side of the river, and EPA is really testing the sediment to find out how much of a concern it is, what kind of concern it poses for health and some other aspects. And they haven't really gotten back those test results yet, but that matters because if you have a large spring runoff or something, that could stir up that sediment.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, even though this is brand new news, so to speak, a week for the country, I understand that that leaks from mines in the area is nothing new for people who live there.
No, it's not new at all. This has been going on since mining has been here, since the 1870s, and pretty much most mines leak something out. It's water that's acidic, loaded with heavy metals, and so combined, taken all together, all these mines after 140 years of mining, it adds up. And the Gold King mine that had the blowout, it was leaking, discharging before the blowout, and it will continue to discharge until somebody is able to figure out a way to stop it.
So this is a topic of conversation that goes on repeatedly.
Yeah, not to this level for sure. This has definitely elevated the conversation a lot. But it's often in the background, more so upstream because that's where it's actually happening. But we do feel the impacts here, another 60 miles downstream from where this spill actually occurred in Durango. The fish feel the impacts. It does impact aquatic life. So it is a dialogue that's been going on, but it's going to be much more intense now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you or Grace feel like it will become a Superfund site now? There have been attempts in the past to make it, and those have been sort of pushed aside. But do you think now that it might become a Superfund site?
I think it probably will. I think that there will be enough pressure from downstream communities to pressure the town of Silverton, which is the closest town to where the spill occurred, to pressure them to accept Superfund, because it's really the only thing I can imagine that could bring in enough resources to address this problem in a comprehensive way.
Yeah, and you talk to downstream users, and they really say that they feel the impacts of the decision that it wasn't made a Superfund site. So it's there's a lot more stakeholders now than there were maybe a couple months ago.
So after the national media heads out of town, you think this will, still be on the radar screen locally?
Oh, I definitely think it will be locally, yeah. I think that it's going to really inspire a movement here from Durango, probably from downstream users as well, who are also being impacted in New Mexico and even into Utah. I think that we'll be talking about it for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the next steps now to the mine? What happens with the mine itself now that you've had this blowout? What are the next steps to take either in the cleanup or to shore up the blowout area?
Go ahead, Grace.
I was just going to say the first thing they did was set up settling ponds to collect the mine discharge. So they're starting to treat that.
Mm-hmm. And is that a permanent solution?
I would say that is probably the best permanent solution, as crazy as it sounds. From what I understand, really, that the best way to deal with this problem is going to be to have a water treatment plant that treats the water as it comes out of the mine by putting in something to lower the pH, something similar to baking soda, raise the pH, lower the acidity so that the metals come out and clean the water. And that would have to run in perpetuity. And that's crazy sounding, but there's really no other way to do it, because if you plug these mines, what happens is that eventually the water is able to find its way out through cracks, natural fractures, sometimes through other mines, which is sort of the situation here, it looks like. So, yes, that's the solution, and it could cost as much as $1 million a year. So that's why we need money.
Yeah, Grace, you'd be testing the mine or the water for forever then. You'd be doing water tests about in the river and the areas of the mines.
Yeah, well, to monitor that and make sure that the water is being treated properly, that's pretty critical right now.
Is this normally what they do with the mine, Jonathan? They do the water treatment like that?
They did, actually. There was a much larger mine near the Gold King that was in operation until 1991. And after they closed down, actually far before they closed down, starting in the 1970s, they started treating their water in the way that I described, in order to comply with the Clean Water Act. And then after they shut down and they started cleaning stuff up, they continued to treat the water to try to mitigate the problem. And then finally, when they left, after they left, the water treatment plant was shut down and water quality deteriorated pretty significantly.
Wow. We'll have to keep an eye on it like everybody else is. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Grace. Jonathan Thompson, senior editor at High Country News, who's based in Durango, Colorado. Grace Hood, energy and environment reporter for Colorado Public Radio.